Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner. It is Sunday, August 12th, 2012, as I speak to you. I'm Sam Minter, and once again, no Yvonne this week. Sorry, guys. I know you miss him. We thought we were going to manage to do it, but then, you know, baby duties called. So no Yvonne once again this week. Maybe next week. And it was too late to cancel for me to schedule somebody else to talk to. Although I could have just sort of IM'd random people that happen to be online right now on Facebook or Instant Message or Skype or whatever. But I chose not to do that. So I'll be talking again. And I, you know, last week worked. And our old friend technical problems are back. So I was just starting to say something or other about something and about how it worked really well last week to record one sort of segment per day. And so I was going to do it again. And then right as that happened, you know, A, the computer started like freezing up a little bit. And B, Alex came in, opened my door. I'd closed my door. He'd been downstairs eating or something, came in and climbed up onto my lap, onto the desk in front of me, and like completely obscuring my view of the computer as it was continuing to crash. And then, you know, around this time, I get a text coming in on the computer from my wife saying that Alex is on the way up, which I'd kind of noticed by then, or I forget the exact order these things happened in, but he got up on me, and now the computer's doing more strange things. Interesting. But anyway, so then the program crashed completely, and then my wife got here to take him, and that took a little while it took a little while for her to get here and start pulling him off, and then he's crying, he's upset, he doesn't want to go, he's screaming, and eventually she he hits her, because he doesn't want to be taken. And so he gets his sausage taken away that he was eating sausage. And he'd brought up the sausage to sit and eat the sausage with me while I recorded or whatever. And so he gets pulled away. The sausage is gone. He's crying. He's having a fit. He goes downstairs. And, you know, as I'm getting the computer set back up again and making it so I can go forward again without, you know, blah, 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 which took several minutes, I hear him downstairs. He's crying. Daddy. And so I'm going to hold off on the first segment. I'm going to pause and we'll take a break. And I will come back and we'll do one segment a day. The second segment will probably already be another day, but we're definitely going to talk about the vice presidential pick, because that's of course the big news today. There's that guy who got hacked and lost all his stuff through some social engineering at a couple different companies, and who knows, there may be more stuff too, but for now I'm gonna go, well, I don't hear him anymore, so maybe he's fallen asleep, but I'm gonna go talk to my son, tell him that, you know, I do love him, and the fact that I, you know, was trying to do something and didn't want him right now didn't mean I didn't want him. We'll be back after this.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
And here I am. So by the time I got downstairs, he was sitting watching TV and he was fine. No longer upset. You know, these things come and go quickly when you're two, almost three. Anyway, I guess we'll start off with Paul Ryan, the vice presidential choice of Mitt Romney. I've put some commentary on my blog, but I have seen a number of comments on Facebook and elsewhere and blah, blah, blah. And of course, it's the hot topic of the day. You know, I'm a lot of people are saying that this does fundamentally change this from an election that was sort of forming up to be an election about nothing. And, you know, where we weren't really discussing the issues and we were talking about stupid gaffes and things like this, to one that'll really be about the issues, because this will focus things around the kind of choices, you know, embodied by Ryan's budget and things like that. Now, of course, at the same time, Romney's already saying, you know, it's not my budget. It's, you know, I'm not necessarily supporting everything Ryan supports. And, you know, of course, the Democrats are trying to hang it all around his head anyway. And, you know, somebody pointed out, you know, I think very insightfully, you know, hey, it's not like Obama adopted Biden's views on splitting up Iraq or various other things. You know, this is the vice presidential candidate. They are not expected to agree on everything. And what matters in the end is the presidential candidate's viewpoints. And yes, you know, I've heard people talking about this will, you know, this will get the conservative base engaged again. And they were getting very upset with Romney over various things about how he was handling the campaign so far. They were having a little tizzy last week when we spoke about, you know, the Romney spokesperson, advisor, talking head, whatever, mentioning that, they would have been fine if they'd been in Massachusetts where Romney's health care plan was in place, and the right wing went nuts. And, you know, this will shore up the right wing base. I've heard people on the other side saying, you know, this will get the Obama supporters engaged and excited again, too, because they're sort of blasé, too, because, you know, Obama hasn't been everything they wanted. I mean, as someone who ended up voting for Obama last time and was an Obama delegate and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, certainly Obama's been a disappointment in certain areas. Although, as I've said many times, I pretty much got what I actually expected. Did I hope for more, perhaps? Yes, there were areas where I thought he'd be better than he was, but he pretty much turned out exactly as you would expect that he would have turned out if you'd read his book and taken it seriously. But anyway, I think all of these folks talking about the respective bases on both sides being energized, excited, whatever, yeah, they probably will be for a little bit, but in the end, I don't think it's going to matter that much. You know, the base being riled up is going to matter a little bit towards fundraising, but frankly, as Yvonne mentioned a few weeks back, they both have quote-unquote enough money. There's a certain diminishing returns once you get past a certain point. Both of these guys have enough money to completely blanket the airwaves on all the states that are close. And beyond that, you know, okay, I'm sure the extra money helps, but you've got enough. So maybe it'll help a little on fundraising. Maybe it'll help a little bit on get out the vote. But really, unless this ends up being very close, I'm not sure how much of a difference get out the vote is going to give you. And right now it's not looking close. Who knows? Yeah, we'll see how things go. But, you know, and so meanwhile, the question is, okay, what does this do towards, you know, people who actually have a chance of voting either way right now? Like, the vast majority of the electorate, you know, is gonna, there was never any question, you know, there's a large group of people who were gonna vote Democratic no matter what. There are a large group of people who are gonna vote Republican no matter what. There's a very tiny group that actually could go either way. So what's this gonna do for those folks? And a lot of that is going to have to do with the rollout in the next few weeks and how, you know, as people, like, somebody did a, you know, the name recognition poll or whatever on Paul Ryan. 50% of people out there have no idea who he is. So, and of the 50% that do know, they didn't necessarily have a very positive opinion, but, you know, the vast, you know, the other 50%, vast numbers of people are hearing about the guy for the first time. And so the question will be, how does that work out? And we'll find out over the next few weeks. Does Ryan fall flat on his face? Did the Democrats manage to actually turn the conversation around and make the conversation all about Ryan and all about Ryan's budget plan and all of and Ryan's conservative social views and all of this kind of stuff? Or does Romney manage to say, you know, he brings youth and vigor to the ticket, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, still about me. Or does it Romney even want that? It's hard to say. It wasn't going that well for Romney right up before this. So what does this mean? To a large degree, the next few weeks will be critical, and, you know, you won't be able to tell really the vice presidential thing in isolation, because we're coming right up on the Republican convention, and then right after that we have the Democratic convention. But I suspect, minus any major new revelations about Ryan or any complete flubs on his part, or they completely screw up the rollout over the next few couple weeks, we'll end up right where we were before. And, you know, the usual effect of a vice presidential choice, and, you know, I'm judging this a lot, to a large degree, on the research done by Nate Silver at 538, which is now part of the New York Times, unfortunately. I liked it better when it was independent, but whatever. The effect generally is 2 percentage points in the popular vote of the guy's home state, and negligible effect everywhere else. The exceptions, of course, are the ones on the downside, like Sarah Palin last year, you know, causing McCain to tank nationwide, essentially. But other than that, the vice presidential candidate is usually not an effect in the end. This may be one of the exceptions. It's hard to say usually in something that only happens every 4 years. But 2 points in Wisconsin isn't going to be enough to make Wisconsin red. And apparently his popularity in Wisconsin isn't all that high either. So it might not even be 2 points there. The key here is going to be, does the narrative of the campaign really change? Does it really become more about Ryan and his views than it is about the stuff we've been talking about all along? If so, frankly, it might be a negative effect on Romney, not a positive one. You know, Ryan is the sweetheart of the Tea Party right wing and a lot of those folks. And maybe it does shore up Romney's support among, you know, diehard conservatives and the base, as they say. But I don't see, I you know, I'm trying to envision the person who was thinking, you know, I was going to vote for Obama, but now that Romney's appointed Ryan as vice president, I think I'm going to vote for Romney. Who is that person? You can maybe see people who, you know, didn't really like Romney, didn't like Obama at all, but were thinking about staying home because Romney was too centrist for them, or because Romney was a Mormon or something else, who might be mollified by this pick and might go out to vote. But these, you know, and I guess getting people out to vote who otherwise were going to stay home, that is important. You probably can't win without that. You know, if Romney had tons and tons of conservatives staying home, it's guaranteed loss. I guess if he gets those conservatives to at least come out, then he's not as far behind. But you can't actually win without convincing those people who were in the middle, who really had a shot of going at Obama. For that matter, you have to take some of the people who are leaning Obama and pull them back over, because he's behind. And in the Electoral College, he's even more behind than in the, you know, the various popular vote polls. Although the Real Clear Politics average right now is you know, the worst it's been for Romney in months of the popular vote. And quick update of that. Right now it has him at a 4.6, Obama 4.6% lead over Romney. And let's see, last time we were at 4.6 in April. So not that long ago. Oh, Alex is joining me again. So I'll probably wrap up this segment. And we'll talk more about the current Electoral College analysis in just a minute. But the gist here is I see a lot of downside in Ryan, but not a lot of upside. It really does seem like it's, you know, this is a situation where the only possible value of Ryan here is to get out those conservatives who were planning on staying home because they didn't like Romney. These aren't people who had any chance at all of voting for Obama. He just wants them not to stay home. Or maybe to give him a little more money. I don't know. But primarily not to stay home. And that's the view, that's the kind of move you make if you know you're in trouble. If you know you're behind. And I'm not the only one to say this. Lots of people have been saying this over the last few days. That this shows Romney's a pushover. This shows that he was desperate. This shows that he was behind. I got to agree with that. You know, this is not a move to try to win the election. This is a move to try not to lose your conservative base. And in the meantime, you may lose all hope that you might have had of getting those people in the middle once the Democrats start painting the narrative of all of the things Ryan, you know, is associated with. With, you know, his Medicare plans, which are vastly unpopular amongst, you know, those eligible for Medicare and Medicaid. His socially conservative views, which, you know, are a little bit too extreme for the middle, as they say. I don't know. on the other hand, who knows? Ryan may come out swinging and everybody gets excited. And I just don't see it though. Like I said, I'm trying to imagine the people in the middle whose mind would be made up and move them towards the Romney side because of the Ryan pick. And I'm having a hard time imagining that person. It's easy to imagine Democrats who get more excited about this because they want to vote against Ryan. It's maybe easy to imagine conservatives who were going to stay home and they're like, eh, okay, maybe. But even in those cases, he's the vice presidential candidate. In the end, people are going to decide based on the presidential candidate. The vice presidential candidate at best makes a difference on the margins, at best makes a very tiny difference in a close election. Right now, it's not looking that close. We still have almost 3 months to go, though. Things will change. We'll be back after this. You know, screw it. Let me do the quick election update. And then we'll come back after this and be on something completely different. Well, we'll still be talking about the election. We got Mitt Romney's tax returns. We got other things going on. But the quick update is, well, you know, nothing's changed since I actually finished recording the last show. Right now where we are is if everybody wins all the states they're ahead in, Obama 332, Romney 206, which is essentially the same as it's been since February, although we had a couple fluctuations off that in April and May. Romney's best case, Obama 247, Romney 291. So Romney does win in his best case. His best case is if he actually manages to win all of Nevada, Colorado, Iowa, Ohio, Tennessee, North Carolina, Virginia, Florida, and New Hampshire. If he manages to pull that off, or even if he manages to lose you know, some of those, depending on which ones he loses, he can still win. But he still has to almost pull off that sweep. He has to get all of those states. And all besides North Carolina and Tennessee, he's behind in right now. It'll be a while till we have polls that include, or a lot of polls that we include Ryan. We don't have any yet as of when I'm recording this show. I'm sure we'll have some by the end of the week. We'll see. We'll see. Well, there might be a vice presidential bump for a little bit, and then a convention bump, and then a Obama convention bump. And the thing is, with the state-by-state polls, they're slow enough, you don't really get a good idea of that bump. Or sometimes the bump will last longer than you think it will, because it takes a while to for things to age off the five-poll average I use. We'll see. I'm expecting net very little change due to the Ryan announcement. We'll see what else happens in the campaign. But I think this in particular, not going to change a lot of minds in the middle. I could be wrong. Anyway, now we'll take a break. We'll be back. This the Romney taxes stuff has gotten a little bit overwhelmed by the Ryan stuff, but there's still a little bit of talked about there. And also, there's that guy who got hacked. We'll talk about him, too. And we'll be back after this. This segment, by the way, I came right back because Alex wasn't really upset. So it's still Sunday, August 12th as I speak. But we'll probably wait and do the next segment on Monday. Bye-bye. Alex says goodbye. And we'll be back after this message. It'll be like a minute or two for you. Longer for me. And as Alex meows, off we go to break.
I play now. I'm done talking. I play now. Bye, Daddy.
I'm done talking for a couple minutes.
I'm done talking and then... I'm done talking now, Daddy. I'm done talking. I'll go play now, okay, Daddy? Bye.
Okay, we'll play for a few minutes and then I have to clean again, okay?
Yeah. Come on, go.
Okay.
I'll go play chase, I'll go play cars at night.
That's right.
Come on, Daddy.
Coming.
Oh.
You're in the Valley, AM 1620 and LiganAirRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs. Classic music for a classic American town, AM 1620, and in stereo at LiganAirRadio.com, The Valley.
And here's Sam. It is indeed the next day. It is now Monday, August 13th. And, well, you know, I was going to do the whole thing. It is UTC, but it's not in real life. But, you know, even Pacific time, it's now Monday, although it's Pacific time where I am, it is 1:22 in the morning. So why the fuck am I recording my podcast right now? Well, it's because I know I probably won't want to do it, or I'd be rushed in the morning trying to get it done before work. So I might as well do it now and I'm still up. Now, why am I still up? God damn if I know. I did watch the closing ceremonies of the Olympics on tape delay, many hours delayed, and so I haven't mentioned any of this stuff. I am not a sports guy, so I watched absolutely none of the actual Olympics, but I watched the opening and closing ceremonies. And I've followed all the controversy, the NBC fail hashtag on Twitter and all that. And look, the bottom line on this stuff is, well, look, it's absolutely ridiculous that the way NBC has done this is just so, like, stuck in 10, 15 years ago. Now, absolutely, positively, the vast majority of people in the United States are not going to watch want to watch all of these events live at the moments they happen. Because of the time zone differences and all that, it's just not convenient times. And so, yeah, it makes sense to do sort of a recap, like a primetime recap of the highlights from the day or something like that. And people would eat that all up. And you might even have several channels of it, of different events and blah, blah, blah. But what they sort of do is they do everything on tape delay and pretend it's live. Sort of, kind of. And meanwhile, I guess if you are a verified NBC subscriber through your cable company or whatever, you could see a lot of these things streaming. But only so. If you weren't, you know, you didn't get all the NBC channels and you didn't have that, then you're out of luck for that, at least legally. And then add to that, that, you know, the commentary, almost everybody agrees, was pretty darn insipid. I only heard the opening and closing ceremonies, and that was pretty awful in terms of the commentary that was added to it. And a lot of people just want to freaking watch the thing. And I heard a lot of criticism about how, you know, the NBC feed was so heavily concentrated on, you know, the American athletes. And you can understand some concentration there, but I've heard people do comparisons to, you know, previous Olympics. You got a lot of color around what the other athletes were and where they were coming from and learned a little bit about their history and culture and you know, the struggles that, you know, the athlete from, you know, obscure country X had in order to just get to the Olympics and blah, 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 blah. And apparently there was a lot less of that this time around. I don't know. I didn't watch it. But, you know, look, the technology is there. You know, I should be able to pick up from any place in the world and watch any of these events live with or without commentary. And if I want commentary, I should be able to pick which commentary I want. Do I want the BBC commentary? Do I want the NBC commentary? Do I want the commentary, you know, from, you know, country X, Y, or Z from all across the world? You know, all of this should be available to everybody. Now, should it be free? I'm all for, you know, I understand advertising. I understand it's expensive. I understand whatever, you know, but, you know, maybe you should be able to just pay for it as pay-per-view. That would take care of it. Or maybe you take whatever the ad feed is from whichever feed you choose to watch. But just because I happen to physically be located in the United States doesn't mean I should be limited to hearing the commentary of NBC. And I should be able to watch anything live I feel like. I should be able to watch anything on demand afterwards if I missed it. I should be able to watch the summary that somebody puts together that's the highlights of the day, if I choose to. It's all about consumer choice here, or at least it should be. But, you know, I understand at the same time, NBC paid, you know, huge amounts of money to have this. They're relying on the advertising. They're going to get the most advertising in prime time. And, you know, they feel like if they show too much of it at other times, like if they did do it live as well and, you know, quote unquote, super serve the audience, that as many people might not tune in at prime time. And, you know, despite all the complaints, NBC's, you know, laughing it up to the bank because they've got some of the highest ratings they've ever had for these kinds of things and making tons of money. And so they're all good. But fundamentally, it's just like, you know, I think this is the last time around that this kind of stuff is going to fly. I mean, technology is moving so rapidly. Now, maybe you won't get the ideal of what I just said, pick whatever feed, blah, 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 blah. But I can guarantee you in 4 years, there'll be a lot less problem about it being live because it's in Rio and it's only one time zone off from the Eastern time zone. And don't even get me started. I'm here on the West Coast. On top of whatever delay NBC put on for the East Coast, there's an additional 3 hours delay for all this kind of stuff. So there won't be as much of a time zone difficulty, but technology would have progressed. People's expectations are going to be further along. 4 years from now, I'm hoping the stranglehold on these things will be broken a bit more, and broadcasters like NBC will recognize that a significant portion of the population and a significant portion of those spending money and wanting to do so aren't going to be wanting to watch through their cable as, you know, the primary mode of operation. They're going to be running around on, you know, their iPad 7s or whatever's around by that point, or and they're going to expect, you know, a lot of control over what they see. They're going to be able to turn on and off commentary. They're going to want to be on demand. They're going to want to see the live version, you know, all of this stuff. And I imagine 4 years from now, it'll be a lot more flexible than it was this time. Maybe not completely flexible. Maybe I won't just be able to say, you know, I want the BBC feed instead and just do it. But you'll be closer to that. And of course, people have pointed out, by the way, that you could just fine get the BBC feed right now. Their services, the VPN tunneling services that you could get to make you seem like you've got a UK IP address, even if you're somewhere else in the world, and then you watch the UK feed. Similarly for other countries, there was apparently a sort of pure feed done by the Olympic Committee to a lot of third world countries where no broadcast rights had been sold, that they could just go via YouTube and see a lot of stuff directly. But that was country locked to those countries. Anyway, it'll be a lot more flexible in 4 years than it is now. Now, how did I get on the Olympics? Oh, yeah, I was watching it tape delayed, and we'd paused it because we were doing other stuff. And that's why I'm up at 1:30 in the morning. Luckily, I don't have an 8 in the morning meeting. I usually do on Monday mornings, but I don't today. So that's good. Now, I guess, should I go back and finish up the election stuff? I don't know. I mentioned Mitt Romney's taxes, blah, 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 blah. Does anybody really care at this point? One more thing on Ryan. It's only been like, I don't know, 12 hours or something since the last time I recorded here. But there's more feedback coming in on Ryan still. Specifically, the case is seemingly being made a lot stronger that this will hurt Romney. And I think, like I said before, there's very little upside here. There's a downside risk if it gets screwed up. And the key in Ryan here is how much does Romney get tied to all of the more extreme elements of Ryan's, what he supported in the past, both his social views, his budget, all of this stuff. If Romney can successfully say, you know, I'm not signing up for everything Ryan did, I, you know, he's my VP. I think he's a good VP, but I'm not signing up for all that stuff. Then maybe that doesn't stick. And it's only been, you know, what, less than 48 hours since the announcement. So I think it's really too early to tell. But the Democrats damn sure are trying hard to make this stick. They want this election to all be about Ryan now, you know, because there's so many things that you can go after with Ryan that will turn off, you know, those people in the center that I was talking about last time. I guess we'll see. I mean, one thing I read was that, you know, people are saying, you know, is this going to be a big effect in Florida? I mean, threatening Medicare, Florida, old people, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, Florida's not really that. Yeah, the concentration of older people in Florida, it is true that it's higher, but it's not dramatic, as dramatic as people say. The average age is a couple years older overall. But anyway, Obama's already ahead in Florida, but it's close. It's very close. Romney could bring it back over if everything went well for him. But is this something that pulls Florida out of reach? If Florida goes out of reach, that's almost the election right there. Right now, given the group of close states that are available, Florida is a must-win state for Romney. He cannot win without winning Florida, unless he starts bringing over more states where Obama currently has a more than 5% lead. But given the current set of states that are close, where the margin is less than 5% right now, Romney can't win without Florida. And Obama, prior to this announcement, the last polls in Florida, my 5-poll average had him a percent or two. So it's a very slim lead in Florida. A lead, but a slim lead. A slim lead he's had for a little while, but a lead nonetheless. And that's one that Romney needed to be pulling back towards him. Even if this has a 1% or 2% impact towards Obama in Florida, that's huge. So Romney has to figure out a way to win Florida and not have everybody get scared of Ryan. And certainly that's the message from the left is fast and furious since Saturday. And like I said, it's been less than 48 hours, but oh my God, did they leap on this and leap hard? The left is practically rejoicing at this choice. We'll see if they're right. Like I said, this certainly seems like a choice that's only about invigorating the Republican base and not about winning anybody over to their side. And they can't win like that. In order to win, Romney has to start pulling people that were thinking of going Democratic over to the Republican side. He can't just be going after the people who are solid Republicans anyway. Which brings us to taxes. Let's do that real quick. This whole Harry Reid thing, it just makes me laugh. And it basically, somebody told me he hasn't paid income taxes in 10 years. Somebody who would know, a Republican, won't tell you who. Some fact check organizations have, given this a bunch of Pinocchios or whatever, saying, this is a falsehood. But they clearly, I don't see how they can say that. The actual statement was, we see no evidence of Romney having paid no taxes, so we'll call this a falsehood. But Harry Reid and those supporting him have been very careful to not say that. They have not said that Mitt Romney paid no taxes in those in that time period, or no federal income taxes. They said that a reliable source told them that. Now, you can't verify that either without him telling what the source is, but it is an important distinction. But it's like, it's so political jujitsu here. Like, I'm not even saying it's fair or it's above board, but oh my God, it's worked. I mean, somebody characterized it on Twitter. I'm going to forget who, but I'm sorry. As the classic, did you meet your wife move? Did you beat your wife? Or did you stop beating your wife? That's what it is. Did you stop beating your wife? Because if you say no, well, you're still beating her. If you say yes, it's like, so you admit you used to beat your wife. It's completely putting Romney in a trap of the only way to prove that Harry Reid, the statement he is saying his source told him is false, is to release his taxes, which he doesn't want to do. And if indeed his taxes show something that is embarrassing, well, boom, you just got him to release it. On the other hand, if he doesn't, you keep beating him up and Harry Reid can keep repeating this, whether it's true or freaking not. And it rubs off on him. And you keep the issue alive of his taxes for the rest of the damn campaign. Now, it has receded to the background because of the vice presidential announcement, but it'll be back. And I've heard some other things that say, you know, Mitt Romney has answered this a couple times and said, of course I paid taxes. I paid a lot of taxes. But if you listen carefully, he never says income taxes. And of course, you know, he's a rich guy. He's paid tons of sales taxes. He's paid tons of property taxes. He's probably paid tons of other kinds of taxes as well. And that's not what the accusation was. The accusation was income taxes. And, you know, I've seen a number of people in a speculate on ways that his taxes could in fact be zero or near zero based on some public knowledge of what was going on with Bain, how he was compensated at Bain, you know, how much money is in his IRA, you know, some stuff that is public. Now, nobody knows except Mitt Romney and a few select other people, including, you know, the people who saw his tax returns in McCain's campaign 4 years ago because he was being vetted for vice president. They obviously chose Sarah Palin instead. But, you know, this is just going to continue to dog him. Once people get over, you know, the VP announcement, there'll be these questions again. They'll be brought up. And it is conceivable that he did indeed pay close to nothing in federal income taxes by various tricks that could be done with deferred income and the fact that, you know, most of his capital gains were inside his IRA and those are tax deferred until he retires and blah, 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 blah. It may not be true. But even if, you know, the one tax return he did release, the partial release, actually, there were a few subsidiary forms he didn't release, but showed a much lower tax rate than most Americans. I think it's safe to assume that at the very least, the previous tax returns also show a fairly low tax rate, whether they show zero or not. So, and you know, it keeps coming up. The longer he says, no, I'm not going to do it, the more the response is, well, what's he hiding? What's going on there? What is he so ashamed of? And again, that's something that, you know, to the people who haven't made up their minds, those rare individuals who are stuck in the middle and don't know what they're going to do, that kind of stuff sounds bad. And I don't know. The flip side is, of course, he could have absolutely nothing to hide, paid lots of taxes, and then he picks an opportune moment, releases it all, and makes all the Democrats look foolish. We'll see. Maybe he's just waiting for just the right moment to do that. Of course, another possible right moment to do that is, you know, the Friday night right before the election, or even Monday night right before the election, or something like that. We'll see. Anyway, enough about that for now, I think. Let's take another break. And meanwhile, I'll take another day. Let's see if I can get sleep by 2 in the morning Pacific time. I'll go to work. I'll have a bunch of meetings. I'll do some stuff. I'll come back and I'll record another segment. It'll probably not be enough segments at that point because, you know, we're already 45 minutes in. You know, I used to think long, long time ago, I'm like, I understand how people can do talk shows with a co-host. I understand how people can do talk shows with callers. But how in the world do these people do talk shows who don't have callers and, you know, like the guys who are on in the middle of the night and no one's calling up and they just have to talk for an hour? And I used to think, how in the world could you possibly do that? And yet the last few times that I've done these solo shows, I've gone over an hour. And I guess that means I just don't know when to shut up. So let me shut up now. We'll take that break. We'll talk to you again after this.
This is a break. Oh, yes, this is a break. This is a break because no one gave me any suggestions. I told you. I warned you. So this is a break. This is a wonderful break. A wonderful break. Yes, indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudgeon's Corner. Yes, this is a break. Yes, this is a break. Break. Yes, this is a break. Yes, this is a break. Break. Yes, it is a break. And now the break is over.
And here I am. I'm now back. It is Tuesday, August 14th now, about 22:40 UTC. That's about 3:40. And for anybody who knows me from work, yes, I'm taking a quick break from work for this 15-minute segment. I was going to do it at lunch, but then we had a thing at lunch, and then I have a few minutes, just a few minutes here. Quick break. And then back to the excitement of my day-to-day work. So the topic I mentioned a couple times earlier in the show and just wanted to really quickly say something about is Matt Honan, and that's Matt with one T, Honan, H-O-N-A-N. And you guys may have read about this. He had what has been called an epic hack, where he basically got his digital life destroyed. And you know, there's an article in Wired magazine by him. Just go to Wired magazine and search on his name, Matt Honan, and you'll find the article, I'm sure. But basically, you know, he had the Twitter user ID MAT, three letters, you know, rare address. And so some guys who just wanted to have some fun and wanted a three-letter Twitter ID decided to go after him and figure out how to get in. And, you know, a lot of people have been talking about this and using it as an excuse to talk about how, you know, you definitely need all your passwords different everywhere, and, you know, you should be using really secure passwords and blah, 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 blah. And that's all true. And, you know, I suck at that. Most people I know suck at that. You know, but that's not, his password wasn't hacked. It was what's called a social engineering attack, where basically he called in, the hacker called in to various companies that he had accounts at and asked for a password reset because he couldn't remember his password, and then, you know, was able to get the verification information. And it combined with a few different places. So he was able to call one place and get the verification information that was needed at the other place. And then there was some public information, and all of his accounts were sort of connected together. And the key to where it became wiping his life out was once they got access to his MobileMe account at iCloud. It's now iCloud. Sorry, I'm having a time warp. His iCloud account at Apple, because his laptop and his iPad and his phone were all hooked up to the functionality that lets you do a remote wipe through those services. And the reason this is there is supposedly, you know, you lose your device. You don't want it to get into the hands of the bad guys. So you log into iCloud and say, hey, I lost my iPhone, remote wipe it, so that whoever's got your phone isn't going to get your stuff. Well, once they got into his MobileMe account, they wiped his phone, they wiped his iPad, and they wiped his laptop. And part of the wiping of these, you know, was the reason they did the wiping was to make it harder for him to get back in and fix the damage that they were causing. Because basically, in the end, all they wanted to do was get access to his Twitter account and start posting stuff. And there wasn't any real purpose to the stuff they were posting. Apparently, it was just a bunch of stupid crap for the most part. Some racist comments, some supposedly funny stuff, whatever. I don't know. It was just for the fun of it. But, you know, so they wiped his stuff. Now, also this, you know, so people and all the companies involved here have tightened up their procedures since then to take this particular attack out of the equation, the particular set of steps he jumped through in order to give each one the information they needed and get the information from each one to fool the other one, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The particular sequence of things has been tightened up and fixed by those companies already now that this became public. But this leads me to the next part, which is, you know, yeah, I get the message, secure passwords, blah, 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 but that's not even what happened here. But the other part of the message is back your stuff up. This guy lost, he's got, I guess, an 18-month-old daughter, and apparently all of his pictures and everything from the first 18 months were on his laptop and only his laptop and were not backed up anywhere else. I presume he's got some pictures that he forwarded to people or whatever, I would hope. But for the most part, they're gone. And yeah, what actually happened to this guy was this hack, but, you know, his laptop could have had a catastrophic system. He could have dropped it and the hard drive died. It could have been stolen. It could have been this. It could have been that. I've said on the show, you know, probably a dozen times on various points, back your stuff up. Back it up repeatedly in multiple formats, in multiple places. Check it on a regular basis, whatever. And make if you have something you care about, it can't be in only one place. If it is on only one place, you are risking losing it. And yeah, I guess that applies in the physical world too. But in the digital world, things are so much more ephemeral and so much easier to lose. Hard drives die all the time. And mobile devices get stolen and lost and broken all the time. If you care, if you would be sad if it was gone, you need to have it in multiple places. And, you know, whether you're Mac or PC or whatever, there are multiple solutions available to you. I perhaps go to an extreme. I've got 3 backups running at any one time of my stuff, 2 that are local and 1 that's remote for more. You know, the 2 local ones back up my entire system. So I could actually, if my hard drive died, I could actually replace my whole hard drive and be up and running from those 2 local remotes, local backups that work in a slightly different ways from each other. The remote one is only documents and files. And, you know, I'd kind of be screwed if I had to rely on that remote one alone. But, you know, because it would take forever to get my computer set up back the way I like it. But I wouldn't lose my stuff. I wouldn't lose my pictures. I wouldn't lose my documents. I wouldn't lose any of that stuff. And maybe I should have more than 1 remote place I'm backing it up to. But, you know, I'm sort of running the law of averages that these 3 things won't fail at the same time. Cross my fingers. And even as I speak, 1 of those 3 backups appears to have its drive flaking out and perhaps dying. So I'll probably have to replace it too. But I'm not panicking, because I know I've got the other 2. So anyway, it's just every time I hear about somebody losing something critical because they haven't backed up, it's heartbreaking. But come on, back up your stuff. It's important. And for the other stuff, it does show how vulnerable things are. I mean, he used, you know, he had linked email addresses. So like in order to recover his password at one place, it would send the new recovery information to the other place. And then they were sort of daisy chained together. So if you got 1, you could systematically use that to sort of percolate your way through the services and get to whatever you wanted. And I think about mine and it's almost certainly true. I mean, I've got, you know, a handful of passwords I use for the most important stuff. And yeah, I've got some throwaway passwords and I've got some that are more secure than others. But, you know, have I been religious about this stuff? No. Do I use 2-factor authentication on any place? No. And for those of you who don't know, that's where you have a password plus you have like a little dongle you keep in your wallet that generates a random number every minute or whatever. And you use that to log in. That plus your password.
I don't have this stuff set up on any of my personal stuff. This did make me think, do I want to set up like 1Password or one of these services that, you know, basically will generate a new completely random secure password for every site you use, and it sort of keep a suitcase of these so that you only have to remember the password to the one place. And I haven't done it yet. I tell you, I'm thinking about it. But if I really had to, you know, have a different password for every single place I have to log into, then either I'm doing that or I'm writing them all freaking down on a piece of paper. But even then, as this attack shows, it's not the guessing of the password. What's happening here is that with the social engineering attack, you think of all the places you call up and, you know, they verify what's your mother's maiden name? You know, where did you live when you were a child? What high school did you go to? What was the mascot at your high school? What was your first pet's name? You know, blah, blah, blah. All of these kind of verification questions, which most of which, if you think about, are pretty easy to find or guess. And I've heard people say, well, yeah, but, you know, you never answer those questions with the real answers. You answer a fake answer. Well, then how the fuck do you remember the fake answer? Then you've got the same damn problem. You're using these things if you can't remember your password. If you can't remember your password, are you really going to remember the fake name you gave to what was your first pet? Assuming you're giving a different one at every... Anyway, the password thing's a mess. There has to be some way to do it better in the future. But for now, I guess be careful or alternately, I guess, assume that everything you have potentially could be hacked. And figure out what's your recourse if it is. If somebody breaks into thing X that you have a password on, what do you do about it when you find out? Can you recover? And if the answer is yes, then maybe don't worry about it that much. I mean, you still want to have a decent password. You don't want to have password as your password. You have a decent password with numbers and letters and stuff, and yeah, whatever. But you make sure you have a way to recover. So, you know, if somebody breaks into your email account, what's the worst they can do? They delete all the messages. Okay, so in the case of an email account, they can delete all the messages or they can start sending messages as you. Those are the two problems. You might care if they read the messages too. Yeah, so how do you react to those three? Well, the delete all the messages, have your messages periodically downloaded somewhere else and then back that up. How's that? For the start sending messages as you, well, just I guess you hope you have a really quick way to detect that the problem has happened and then you know who to call to get it shut down. I don't know. Them reading your mail, that's a little harder because they could sit there reading your mail for years without you knowing it. Change your password periodically. I don't know. But yeah, I guess that's the exercise you have to go through. For each service that you have a password for, what is it connected to? How can you get into it? What information do they require? Like if they want to prove you're you, if you've forgotten your password, and is that like, and then if all of that happens, if someone breaks in, what's the damage they can do and how can you recover? And if the damage is huge, then you figure out what you need to do to mitigate that. Add more backups, or make the password more secure, or use one of these password services. You know, of course, with all these password services, you still have the password to the password service. Anyway, you know. For me, the moral is: A, back everything up, always, always, always back everything up. If you give a shit, it's backed up, always. And two, I guess as you go through these things, think about them. Think about what would happen if somebody broke in and what to do. I mean, it's still a relatively rare problem, but it's going to get worse over time, not better. So you should think about it. Anyway, that's enough for this segment. I'm going to take a break. And we'll be back in the next day. And I guess we'll do a fourth segment. Maybe if I have anything to talk about, I'll think about it. If I don't, I'll say goodbye. But first, this break. And then I'm going back to work. I have to make some graphs. That's my task for the rest of the day. Make some graphs. Talk to you all after break.
And it's now Wednesday, August 15th. But as I've sat down and put everything back together again, I realize we have just gone over 1 hour. And so I've been talking enough. So like I said earlier in the program, I got to learn to just shut up. So I'm going to shut up. Alex has just come with me too. So I'm going to say goodbye and wrap up the podcast. As usual, if you have any questions, comments, or thoughts, email me at ablesme@ablesme.com. A-B-U-L-S-M-E. You know, do all those social media things, retweet us, share us on Facebook, etc., etc. Fun stuff like that. And otherwise, we'll see you next week. Goodbye. You gonna say goodbye, Alex? No, he's being shy. Okay, bye, guys. We'll talk to you later. Hopefully, Yvonne will be back next week. And we'll have a fun show. So have a good week. Bye. How many times can I say goodbye before I actually, like, hit the stop button? One more time? Okay. Bye.
Trains.
Trains?
Yeah.
Yeah. Trains are great, aren't they?
Daddy,
you want me to go play trains?
Yeah. And down here, Mommy. And Mommy is down the floor. And downstairs, I'm talking to my Mommy.
Mm-hmm.
Train.
Yeah, that does look like a train.
Trains. Daddy, I hate trains. Daddy walk?
Mm-hmm.
There? What's that?
It's the thing that shows how loud the stuff is that we're recording.
I'm going to go to work.
Yeah, I'm going to go to work soon.
I'll play first.
Maybe for a few minutes. We'll play for a few minutes, okay?
Daddy?
Yes?
Okay, Daddy have his stuff off the floor. Daddy? Yeah.
You want to get the stuff off the floor of my office?
Yeah.
Yeah. You ready to go downstairs?
Yeah!
Okay. Here we go. Say goodbye.
I'll go upstairs and then go downstairs. Bye.
Yep. Bye.